club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to this, welcome back to another episode of the FC Lowell podcast. They say that football is a young man's game, but in this episode, we'll be looking at 10 players who think otherwise as we rank the top 10 current players aged 35 and over. Joining me today is Jordan. He's not quite 35, but he's approaching that big 3-0. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, all right. We're at the cusp of age, aren't we? I consider us still young. Don't know about you. I thought I was still young.
Yeah, they say that 40 is the new 30 anyway, so potentially we've got another decade in there as young.
And I've heard life starts at 50, but, you know, they all say that when they're insecure about their age. We'll see when we get there. But it's all about 5 and over anyway.
Yeah. That's it, yeah, and to be fair, I mean, there's not as many golden oldies as there used to be. Like, I think especially Serie A, that used to be full of old players, but it doesn't actually seem to be the case these days.
Mate,
more of a young league now.
Gone are the keepers as well. Even back in the Prem, you had keepers that were really like 40-odd, and I mean, I feel like football's a different game. Different altogether, I think, this generation. Because back in the day, your experience will mean a lot. Now clubs just want to look at the youth and bringing in the next best thing, top prospect. And I suppose that's probably replacing the experience, isn't it?
Yes, it's weird. It's weird how the current top players are, because there's a lot that are around sort of 30 years old. So they're either a year older or a year younger. Or you've got certain teams like Arsenal and like Chelsea to an extent full of young players in there. And I mean, we're seeing it with Real Madrid as well. They've got a nice little mix of 5 or 6 players that have been there for like 10 years, but they've got a lot of young players coming through and nothing really in the middle now.
Yeah, it's really... I put it down to... So, I think we were talking about this off air. Anything below 35, apart from two that was going to mention, Lewandowski and Benzema, right? Anything below that, there's quite a gap, isn't there, between like big star players. When you get to those big star players, you're talking about De Bruyne, Neymar, you know, those
Salah,
yeah, those ilk, right? Those, and if you think about it, so we're around that same age, even the same age as some of those, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, they were touted as the next so-and-so. So De Bruyne would be the next Frank Lampard, or Salah will be the next, I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know that then they became, but then after a while, maybe as they got into their mid-20s, maybe, they became their own player. They became their, like, you couldn't, I don't think you can compare De Bruyne to anyone really of an older generation, nor you could, like Salah. He kind of is his own type of player. Hazard as well. So they became like, and Neymar as well. So it's like the Neymar, especially him as well. He was like the special boy growing up, you know, someone who people talked about quite a bit. And he hit the stage in Barcelona, didn't he? And he became this superstar. But he became his own type of player. Like, you can tell, and you can tell the difference between a Neymar and a Hazard and a Salah. They're very different. And now it seems like we're going back again to, oh, can I find the next Hazard? Like, Chelsea be looking everywhere to find the next Hazard. Can we find the next Kante? No one's their own individual players. And that's why I think we're going to find a lack of players over 35 that are going to be world-class or at their peak in years to come. I think it's going to be a young man's sport. I mean, given it, was it the other couple of months back, Arsenal gave a debut.
15-year-old.
Yeah, 15-year-old. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you had times where Freddie Adu was touted as the next Pele. Media hype. But there's another player in Brazil. Is it Endrick, I believe?
Yeah, is he about 16 or something?
Yeah. And I feel like, just judging by recency, how it's all gone, those types of players will be in the limelight for a bit. I mean, Reece Nelson was one of them. Even Sancho, blah, blah, blah. They all get into the limelight a bit, get brought, do well in the league, and then next couple of years, they get brought for a massive chunk of money, and then that's it. They'll kind of fade out. And I feel like that's going to keep repeating until you find someone like a Haaland, a one in a million player, who's going to break that barrier. But can Haaland maintain it for a... Well, how old is he now? About 20, 21, 22 maybe?
Yeah, he's young, yeah. I mean, I think part of it is down to like wages. So,
yeah,
in the past, a free transfer was always seen as a bargain. And, you know, a lot of the free transfers were the kind of over 35s and stuff. But these days, I think wages are a lot more scrutinised than they were in the past. And, I mean, yeah, part of it is the young players don't tend to get paid as much. Obviously, Haaland has been a massive exception. But if you look at a lot of the highest earners these days, a lot of them are kind of older free agent players rather than young superstars. So they probably prefer to pay a big transfer fee for a player than actually commit a load of wages to it.
Yeah. And putting that pressure on young players, I mean, I'll go back to Freddie Adu, has a massive impact. And I feel like you aren't going to get a player like Messi for a very long time or ever, I personally don't think. And I don't know, maybe the generation before us was saying this about, you know, Maradona. You're never going to find a player like him, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden Messi pops up. But anyway, I don't feel you're going to find a player like Messi because Messi got he got given the space to grow, to build. Like, he was that good anyway. But obviously, space to be sit in a team with all these top world-class players and show his talent and get back in the team week in, week out. Whereas, if I'm taking, I'm just going to use Chelsea for example, right, Broja. Now, I've got no doubt that guy, his ability, his build, his structure, the way he plays, almost mimics Haaland's, you know, game.
Mm.
And I think given the right time and setting, right players around him, I think he can do it. I think he could be, you know, not as good, because Haaland's clearly something else, but, you know, a top-class striker. But I just get the feeling, as with all the clubs do, they'll play him in bit part, you know, opportunities, and it will just be at his detriment because he won't get that full run of games that your Messi's would have got in a day, or Neymar would have got in a day, or I don't know, even De Bruyne to a point. I mean, Chelsea brought him. Actually, De Bruyne's kind of a different example, isn't he? He brought him, but then as soon as he went up to Wolfsburg, is it Wolfsburg or Werder Bremen?
Yeah, Wolfsburg, yeah.
Yeah, he flourished there. And then, you know, they get the opportunity to flourish. And I think nowadays you haven't got that structure for these young ones. And the reason why I'm talking about the young ones so much is because I don't feel like anyone's going to reach that level anymore. They peak too early, and they die off pretty early as well. Whereas your likes of, you know, some of the people we're going to mention here, they make their way into the team, as you would, a lot of them through academies or, you know, doing a stint at a club that is lesser known, or, you know, not as successful. They do their bit there, they get picked up in a traditional sense, and then go on and, you know, make their name and make their place in that team, that squad, and make history. And they can do it for a long, long spell. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't see anyone matching this list, or the list, you know, this list of past would have absolutely destroyed this list, right? But I can't see anyone matching this list in the next, what we're talking, even 4 years might be close, But after that, 4 or 5 years might be close, but after that, it's going to be a pretty poor list, I think, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if we were doing this podcast, yeah, like 15, 20 years ago, you'd have a lot of the top sort of Serie A players. And yeah, as you say, goalkeepers, tons of goalkeepers would have been in there for sure. Like Van der Sar, for example, was starting a Champions League final aged 40.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, you know, Iker Casillas was in a Champions League final at about 35, something like that as well. And yeah, for some reason, there's not even that many top goalies these days that are kind of older than 35, even though they don't really supposed to hit their prime until 30. So yeah, it's a very strange one in that position as well.
Yeah, but we'll see. You never know. You know, I don't think anyone expected a Messi in this world, a replica of Maradona.
No,
you never know what's around the corner, but I find it very hard to believe. But let's crack on then.
Yeah, so we've done a joint list for this one. So there was, I suppose there was one kind of honourable mention to a point. How we've done it, we've done it kind of like what the Ballon d'Or period was? So it was from about August, weren't it, last year? I mean, we can probably include the Euros in that, really. So after the end of last domestic season, but you can include the Euros and anything from there till present, I suppose.
Yeah.
And the one that kind of just missed out was Luis Suarez.
Yeah, it's a hard one because you know his talent. I mean, even to the point when Chelsea won Champions League, what is it, 2021? I'm going to say 2020. I'm getting confused.
Yeah, he won the league, didn't he, that year?
Yeah, and he still was in that Champions League team playing against us. And he's still causing us problems. You know, he's still dangerous on the ball. It's just that he's kind of been a bit part player in that Atletico Madrid team the year following that. And clearly he's moved on to his boyhood club, who I have no idea what league that they're in, but I've seen videos and pictures of his, like him going into the dugout, and it is basically like a pitch on Hackney Marshes from what I've seen. But listen, there's nothing taken away from Suarez's player and his career. It's just that in these recent seasons, I don't think he's managed to maintain the levels of the players that we've got in front of him. Because the players that we've got in front of him are still performing in the top leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Or have done, achieved things that, you know, others wouldn't have.
Yeah. Should we start with number 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is someone in the French league. Not the only one in the French league actually on this list, but it's Dimitri Payet.
Yeah. Odd one though. Odd one, because when you mentioned him, you wouldn't, like, when he was in the Prem, clearly he was something else. He was a top player. But he was never, I wouldn't say he was ever like an outstanding performer to the point where you're like, Jesus, like he can go play at your likes of Chelsea, Man City or whatnot at that time. But he's kind of, am I right to say, like, he's like a cult hero, kind of.
Yeah, he is. I mean, not only, obviously at West Ham is what people probably know him for, but I mean, at Marseille, he's got, I don't know, you know, they've had some absolutely unbelievable players. They've had people like Abadé Pelé, Jean-Pierre Papin, Desailly, stuff like that. But in terms of kind of the last 20 or 30 years, he's got to be right up there as one of their best ever players. And he gets so many assists, and kind of we know what he's all about anyway, from his time in the Prem with the dead balls and skills and stuff. But yeah, he's not, internationally, he's not really got that recognition, has he? I think he had that one year when he was at West Ham, he got loads of France caps. And other than that, he's been fairly bit part from them. But he did do the business last year. Like when I think a lot of people would naturally talk about William Saliba and how good he was in that side. But Payet was really good that season as well. And got him to second in the league. And as good as ever, really.
Wasn't he like the first person from French league to reach like 100 goals and 100 assists?
Yeah, 100 for both, yeah.
That's mad. That is a good, that is like, you know, if you want a balanced midfielder, that's what you want, both of those, isn't it? So, I mean, clearly, I don't know. I don't know if he's been underrated. Maybe because he's been at Marseille, he's, you know, they haven't achieved much, have they?
No, they're a bit of a...
I mean, they've been actually...
Mental quite... case as well. Like, there's a lot of drama and stuff in Marseille all the time.
No, the fans and stuff fighting, and that's another thing. But, I mean, he clearly is talented. I mean, to get 100 goals, 100 assists, that's a top achievement. And I don't know, man. I think he's been, I think maybe criminally underrated. I think maybe if he was at a Spanish club, I don't know, like your Villarreal or something, you know, one of those teams where they tend to pop up in Euros and stuff like that. Yeah, Europa League. You might have heard about him a little bit more, you know. Because he's been doing it for Marseille, it's gone under the radar. But a quality player and a wand of a foot, really, isn't he? He's just got a radar on him, for sure. But yeah, I think, and I think that kind of justifies why he's above Suarez. I think. Because Suarez, you know, he had his time. And Suarez's time was, you know, miles above whatever Payet has done. Don't get us wrong. The things he achieved, the goals he produced, and the way he played sometimes, unreal. But, you know, within the last year and a bit, Payet's been a lot better. Which leads to the next one. And this one, for me, I think it goes down to what he achieved in the Euros of late. And still being just the leader that he is, you know, and... Again, he kind of falls into category of maybe like a little version or a budget version of a Maldini, you know, an old leader, positionally, you know, aware, you know, knows his body ain't up for it, but just knows how to read a game. And that's Bonucci. I think he's a quality player.
Yeah, I mean, that Euro is definitely is quite heavily weighted to why he's on this, but I mean, even though Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup, that's, for me, that's more down to their kind of striking options than them defensively, really. And he, you know, he's still getting in the team. He's being phased out a little bit now from Juve, but that's probably a good thing for him because Juve are not the same team they are this year. And that's, you know, that can probably make him look even better, the fact that he's not there and they're struggling so much. They do need that leadership that he's got, and there's not really anyone else now that Chiellini's left that's actually got that in the team.
And that is something I've always thought about him, though. The one thing I would say about him is, has he always been... I feel like he's always been overshadowed, or... Like the little brother of Chiellini. That's how I've always seen him. I don't know if that's the general consensus, but I always feel like he's been the little younger brother of Chiellini.
Like, yeah.
You know, Chiellini is the leader. Like, he's the man, and then it goes to Bonucci. I feel like he's lost that now. Chiellini's gone out to America. But I think you're right. I think him being out of the team... can only do him well, and I think probably Bonucci will probably follow Chiellini out in America. I can only see that happening. I can't see him going anywhere else. Or just retiring in Italy, maybe. But yeah, he's achieved probably the best thing he's achieved with this team. He wasn't in the World Cup squad, was he? 2006?
Oh, no, no, he would have. I think they all just missed out on that. Like, Chiellini just missed out on that as well, I think.
So, yeah. So, yeah, this is probably the best thing he's achieved within the last couple of years. So, he's got to be on this list. Doing at that age as well. So, yeah. Next up, someone I don't really like him, to be honest, as a person. I don't know why. I just get a bad vibe. But go on then, introduce him.
He's a goalkeeper. Hugo Lloris.
Yeah.
I think he's still probably one of the best in the Prem, I would say. He's not... There's a couple that are definitely better than him, but I think he's still up there. He's still respectable, kind of thing. This probably does lend itself to what we're talking about in the past. There used to be tons of goalkeepers that, you know, would have made this list back in the day, but the depth in that position definitely isn't there for the older ones. But Lloris is good. I mean, Tottenham do rely quite a lot on taking, you know, giving other teams possession and stuff, and sometimes that means him having to come out for stuff or save a lot of shots and things like that. And he's not now as good as he was, but he's still pretty solid goalkeeper.
Yeah, and I think without him, I mean, it was rumoured, I think a year or so ago he was going to leave Tottenham. And I feel like without him, Tottenham would have dropped a heck of a lot of points. I mean, I feel like Tottenham are just a team that rely on him, Son and Kane, really.
Yeah.
And, all right, his form of late, and I'm talking the last, couple of months, he has been coming out and doing some dodgy things, like, you know, coming out of his box too quick and missing the ball and stuff like that. But, genuinely, as a shot stopper, He's been one of the most consistent in the Prem for a very long time. And you can't take that away from him just because he's Tottenham. So I think he's a decent shout in this list. And, you know, he's still maintaining that at a higher level.
Yeah, and what you said about him, Son and Kane, yeah, I think there's probably a lot of teams, you know, when they do this stuff where they do joint 11s of two teams, I think they're going to be normally the only three that will probably feature in these sort of joint 11s with some of the other top six clubs. Maybe Romero, there's an argument for, or Dier, but it's normally, yeah, just them three that will get those sort of shouts.
Yeah. And only, you can't think of anyone else in that bloody team. Right. Next one. Talking about under the radar with Bonucci. I never knew how good this guy's record was for Man City.
Oh, yeah, I love him, to be honest. I think he's so underrated in general. Like, he's been doing the business for years and often not as the main man, but still scoring really important goals.
That's what I mean. He's Chelsea were linked with him for a couple of years when Conte was with us. And I would have taken him hands down at that time. I think he scored a goal, a wonder goal, against us as well when he played for Roma. I wonder if we've given it away yet. Who are we talking about?
We are talking about Mr. Edin Dzeko. He's still an important, you know, an important part of Inter Milan. Like, he's not, with Lukaku being there now, he's not the sort of the main striker or anything, but he's still forming off the bench. He's getting some goals in Europe and stuff. He was pretty good last year as well. He was one of their top scorers last season. He just does it. He just always can score them goals from the bench, and, you know, he doesn't have to play every game to get into form and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I like I said, when he played for Man City, I didn't realise how much he scored. Like, he's quite a prolific goal scorer. But yeah, I think when Lukaku came to Chelsea, I didn't think they, because they didn't really replace him, did they? They have obviously Martinez up top. But Dzeko, he's very similar to someone else we've got on this list, but I think a bit more.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly that. You know, I was thinking exactly that. That's a really good comparison.
Yeah, he's a bit. He's a bit like him, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I feel like he's not fading out. He's still maintaining it. What I'd say is reliable. You know, like, you know what you're getting with this guy. If you play to his strengths, you're going to get goals. And the clubs he's been at, he's done that everywhere he's gone. And for Inter Milan, again, like you just alluded to, Lukaku, you know, I think he was injured late, hasn't he? He's been injured about a month or so recently. And Zeko stepped up and he scored a couple of vital goals for that club. So, again, I can't see him fading away, and him being 35 plus in a position where it's very hard to be that age and maintain it. I mean, what, we talked about Ibrahimovic, didn't we, last time we did this?
Yeah.
I don't know if he was he 35 at the time we were saying? I don't know. I don't know how old he was. He might have been. But Ibrahimovic is a player that, you know, at that age, 35 plus, was still absolutely destroying teams. Now you can see he's slowly winding down, injuries creeping and stuff like that. Don't ever underestimate how hard it is for a striker to keep consistently performing at this level. It makes it even like more. I'll give you more credit when you're doing it in a Serie A where typically defenders. I think they're now turning, of recent, your defenders are now coming from Serie A again. You're now getting world-class defenders. You're talking Tomori's on top form now. There's a guy called Bremer. There's a couple in Inter Milan as well. Obviously, Dzeko will be playing against them. You know, recent times of De Ligt as well. So players that, you know, at the top of their game, centre-backs, and he's still performing against them. So, fair play to him, you know, and hopefully he maintains it in the next coming years. But weird, of the last few, we said underrated, haven't we, quite a bit. And this guy is, I feel like he's criminally underrated.
Yeah, he's, I don't know why, like, maybe because at Man City, Aguero was there. So people didn't really talk about it. But even in that game that Aguero scores, like, without Zeko scoring that goal, that Aguero moment doesn't happen anyway. And he does come through with big goals quite a lot. Like even for Bosnia, within the last year, he scored against France. Like no one else in that Bosnia team is going to be capable of doing that other than him, really. So yeah, he's a talisman still for his country as well at that age. And I don't think that you're going to get many on this list that are still so important internationally as he is to his country.
Yeah, definitely. Right, this is an odd one. Very odd one to be in this position. We had a bit of, I think we had a bit of difference on it.
We did. It wasn't major, to be fair. I think, you know, it's not disrespect. People do like to throw around the word disrespect recently when it comes to this guy. And he's definitely one of the best ever, but it's just, you know, in the last year or so, he's just not been the same.
Yeah. And he's had personal issues. I think that's got a lot to play with a lot of things that's happened in his life. You can't disregard that. I think because he's such a big name, any little drop of form or any situation is going to be magnified a billion times over. So you've got to kind of respect the position he's in. And for the team he plays for, who are not run well whatsoever. Only of recent they've started to hit form again. Like I said, a world-class player, one of the best ever. But in the last year and a bit, Cristiano Ronaldo still makes our list, still because he's still banging in goals for United, isn't he? I think he's got 19 goals so far since being there. He's only played 39 games. Which doesn't seem much, really, does it, over the last... Well, he's been there a season and a bit now, is it? Is it been... Yeah. And they...
Yeah.
Were they in Champions League last year as well? I think they were.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I think that must be just league games, because he definitely played...
More than that.
...in Europe as well. But he still hits his numbers, doesn't he? But I don't know. The goals don't have as much of an impact. Like, he's sometimes getting, like, consolation goals or, you know, penalties. I mean, penalties are still goals at the end of the day, but sometimes they're not always as impactful, you know. And he's missed a few penalties as well in his sort of last year or so too. So, yeah. It's a weird one having him so low in this, I guess, compared to what people might think. But I mean, if he looked at it just this season, he wouldn't be on the list at all, would he?
No, because he's hardly played. You know, dressing room bust ups or whatever it is, not want to play and walking off at half time. He'd be nowhere near this list. But
yeah,
you got to give him some leeway in the stuff that's going on outside of his life, outside of football, but. Again, you don't know. I mean, there's professionalism and there's ways of doing things. I think I feel he's one, though, out of all these names. Right, let's just say that we just picked Dzeko for a second. But you couldn't say hand on your heart that, you know, Dzeko next year would be on this list. He might just drop out completely. Whereas Ronaldo, you know, if he moves away from Man United, he can easily creep up back to number one So it's just a bit odd having him here, but that is not discrediting his ability. And like I said, he could easily creep back up to number one if he really wants to and he gets the right setting to do it. Right, this one, I've told you about my love for him before. Even when he was with you, Jack, I remember you wasn't so keen on him, was you?
No, and to be honest, I'm still not, but he is a classic that's actually played better since they've turned 30. And for that reason, he's playing probably as good now at the age of, I think he's 35 now, maybe even 36, as he would have been playing at 25, 26 for me. He's not... I don't know, because he doesn't really rely on pace and things like that as well. So it's not like his game suffers with age.
Yeah.
I've got to admit, I probably respect him since he's left my club, I would say. And yeah, for those of you that haven't guessed, it's Olivier Giroud.
Yeah, what a guy. What a goddess of a man. at AC Milan, I think, didn't you say he's top goal scorer? I'm pretty sure he's top goal scorer for
now. Well, I think
last
Liao
year,
I don't know if it was him or it might have been Liao, but of the strikers, he's their main striker, really.
Yeah, and for him to do it again, like I said with Dzeko, to do it at that age. Keeping injury free as well, mainly. He's, you know, he doesn't really get injured, Juru. He's someone you can rely on, but you give him that ball in the right place, it doesn't matter, you know, he will be able to find the back of the net. That's what I like about him. He rarely misses a chance. If, like, some of the goals he scored over his career are unbelievable. If you did a reel of some of his top 10 goals, honestly, a lot of them can win the Puskas Award. And, you know, after last year and a half, he's won. He's pretty sure AC Milan won the Scudetto last year.
Yeah.
And he was pivotal to that. This year, they're not doing so well, but they're still up there. They're third. It's only because, you know, Napoli have had a freak kind of season, I think. Credit to you, Jack. You mentioned it in the predictions for this season. That player, I cannot name his name. Number 77 from Georgia.
Maradona, yeah. I call him.
Yeah. I mean, he's changed the dynamics of that team completely. But Jura's still doing the business in that league. And I think I mentioned it before, you know, Giroud's, if he goes to the World Cup, which I'm pretty sure he should, you know, as a different type of player, if he goes there and scores a few more goals, he beats Henry's record. I don't even know if he's beaten it already for France, but he'll be France's, you know, near enough top goal scorer, wouldn't he? Or near,
yeah.
Near, which is mental for a player like Giroud, which, like you said, in his 20s, was not someone you'd think, ah, that's a world-class striker, blah, blah, blah. But he's developed his game past his 30s and become more experienced using what he's got to the best it can, not trying to be, you know, a fast, dynamic striker, but just using his abilities and to the best, you know, and having a team around him that use it well, you know, it's working wonders for him. So yeah, I think he's worthy of this position. It does make me think about the next choice, whether we've put him too high. I know we always do this, but
it's really tough to rank. Really, all I'll say on Giroud as well, actually, is just at Arsenal we never seem to be the guy to score in the big games. But I mean, at Milan he's got two goals against Inter. And they've won the game. And that was the crucial game, really, in why they won the league, ultimately. Yeah. He got the winner at Napoli as well. And then on the last game of the season, they still needed to win. He got two goals to settle the nerves, and they won 3-0. So he's really come up with big goals in that, which he never did at Arsenal, really. He's definitely deserving of a place. Yeah, you're right. He could potentially be higher. The guy that we've got one higher is another goalkeeper. And I think with goalkeepers, it can be very hard to judge on kind of how good they really are. But, I mean, this guy's a sort of generational goalkeeper. So if he has dropped off a little bit in the last year or so, he's still going to be up there as one of the best goalkeepers in the world, I'd say. And that's Manuel Neuer.
Yeah. But the thing is with him, he's not... So he's world-class. Like, he's been world-class almost throughout his whole career. He, for me, and I know there's probably others before him, but for me, he was like the first one that I stood up and was like, okay, this is a new type of keeper. This is like a sweeper keeper. This is a keeper that will come out of his box and want to play, you know, play football as well.
Yeah.
And I read something recently where Pep was considering playing Neuer in midfield when they won everything that year.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
And then I think their chairman was like, no, don't do it. It'll come across arrogant. Or someone did. Come across arrogant. But, you know, he's that type of player. And he's kept consistently at that top level for years now. And even now, he's still doing it. You know, he may not be as good as what he has been before, but he's still, because he has been that good, even if he dropped a few levels, he's still world class, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Bayern generally have had a bit of a dip in the last year, but they still win things. They still win the league and stuff like that. They're not, you know, completely shit. And for me, Neuer, not only his ability as a keeper, but a leader as well. Someone who will command that team, make, you know, expect the best from that team, command his defence, you know. And you know, you can easily get to a certain age. Let's take someone like Ben Foster. All right, he's nowhere near world-class level, right? But Ben Foster must be of similar age or, you know, around. Neuer could easily down tools. The next Neuer can come in with, you know, I'm pretty sure there'll be someone in the pipeline to replace him. He can easily down tools as a keeper. You know, he doesn't have to go and keep wanting to be at this top level, trying to push for Champions Leagues. you know, again, he's a player that plays with the ball at his feet. So it's more than just a shot stopper. But he does. He does it year in, year out. And I mean, I'm pretty sure he'd be in Germany's starting team. I don't know. Is he first choice? I don't know who.
He still will be. Yeah, and I mean Germany have got historically, and even now they've got some really good keepers. Like Kevin Trapp's pretty good.
Yeah.
Leno is
good.
Ortega is. I'm surprised he hasn't got a cap yet, but Gav Mack raves about how good Ortega is, and you know, I don't think you really get that depth in any other country for goalkeepers at the minute. But yeah, Neuer's still the number one there.
Yes,
and he's still the number one for Bayern as well. So yeah, he's a great keeper still.
Maybe we just talked ourselves in that we did the right decision. So I think that's fine. Yeah, it's just your rule, Jack, of keepers shouldn't be this far up, but I think we have a little exception here.
Yeah.
All right. As we spoke about Ronaldo earlier on, does this feel weird? It doesn't.
If you literally was talking the last 3 weeks, I think he'd be number one. I don't know what's happened the last sort of month or so, but he's been insane. But actually, he's sort of been underwhelming a little bit in the last 12 to 18 months, but because of how good he is in his base level, he's still third on this list.
Yeah, that is Mr. Lionel Messi, Lionel, however you say it, Messi. Yeah, I mean, to put it in perspective, I think he was in league last year, he played a majority of games and only got 6 goals. 6.
Yeah. That's crazy, though.
This is a guy who used to score 30 for a laugh.
Yeah.
A season. I mean, I kind of feel weird saying this, but like, you kind of give him a bit of leeway because he's moved to a new league after so many years. But then it's Messi at the end of the day. You know, I used to think you could put Messi in bloody Aldershot Town and he would fucking...
Yeah, we are starting to see that though. He's now settled in a bit more now.
Yeah. I mean, his stats currently say 12 league games and he's got 7 goals. So we're hitting on near the same amount of, you know, the ratio that he normally would be hitting, almost. Yeah, I mean... Is it one of those ones where, because there was so much politics in PSG, I'm just looking for excuses for him because I think he's world class, but I mean, so much politics in PSG, the uncertainty of Mbappe, is he like, again, sounds weird to say this, but is Messi the actual main man in that team where he would have been in Barcelona? Is it played through him? I mean, recently.
Well, Mbappe is technically like the director or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
So... I think he's the key decision maker, but yeah, I don't know who the main man is in PSG. Is it him? Is it Messi? Is it Neymar? I don't even know.
And this is what I think might have impacted him, potentially.
Yeah.
And I think of recent, like you said, in the last month or so, he just switched on. I think because there's been all that talk about Mbappe, yeah, he wants to leave in January, he's going to go, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't care about this big contract that he's got. To buy himself out. I think whatever has happened behind the scenes, that's kind of all settled now. And it's either like, Mbappe's like, he's either gone, yeah, fuck it, I'm going on in January. And he's like, I'll wait out and play up until that point. I think it's given Messi that kind of, that breathing space just to be like, right, I'll just play as I want to play now. I don't have to just play up to Mbappe's standards or whatever. I don't know. This is me reading between some very odd-shaped lines here, because I don't really get how Messi's not performed. Because everyone talks about, oh, it's a Farmers League and shit like that. Surely you should be almost doubling your stats if it's really that bad. You're Messi, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know how suppose it is a bit of a farmers league, but then there's so much shit at the bottom of La Liga. Like, the worst teams in the Liga are awful. Like, for some reason, the bottom of La Liga is worse than any other of the top five or six leagues. But yeah, the top, you know, the top four or five are pretty, really good actually. Like, arguably the best, or definitely, if not the second best. So maybe that's partly why he was getting so many goals at Barca, but I don't know. Yeah, it's just a weird one. PSG are going to score over 100 goals this season, but then Mbappe could get 50 of them, couldn't he? So how many is left for the rest of everyone else?
It's true. I mean, did PSG win a league last year?
Yeah, they won it last year.
Okay. So at least he's won something. I mean, yeah, I mean, are they on route to qualifying? Have they already qualified for the next round of the Champions League? I'm not quite sure, actually. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they're in Juve's group, and I think Juve are in massive danger of falling out. I think they have, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, they have. So, yeah, I mean, he's still doing what he needs to do. I mean, top of the league and stuff like that. You can't knock him for where he's at. It's just his performance last year wasn't great. Again, I'm starting to question whether we put him a little too high because of his name. But of recent performances, he's done brilliant. He's still gifted. And this is where I think the massive difference between Messi and Ronaldo comes. I think Messi is naturally gifted. He can produce stuff, even if he's not scoring or assisting. He's just producing on the pitch. Like, you know, there's people talk about, I don't agree with it, but like pre-assists or whatever, those dribbles and shit like that. Whereas Ronaldo is sure, he's just mainly about his scoring ability. Like, when he was younger, he just dribbled past players like with nothing. But nowadays, it's just pass, get into the box, header or shot from outside the box. Where I don't know, maybe I don't know. Have we put him too high? I don't know.
It's hard because like I'd generally say if we're talking last few weeks, he's number one.
Yeah.
So if you talk about recency bias, then that's maybe partly why he's number three. But yeah, what I would say is the next two, I think if we're all talking kind of since the Euros times, last 15 months or so, I think there's a bit of a gap actually with these two compared to the rest.
100%. I'll introduce the next one. I absolutely love him. And to the point where I never thought I'd be able to do this, but John Terry, right, he's my favourite defender of all time. Thiago Silva comes very fucking close. Very close. And this is ridiculous because John Terry and Thiago Silva come into my all-time Chelsea 11, by the
That's
way.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah. Has he already made it?
He's replaced... Yeah, he's replaced Carvalho. He's definitely done that. And for me, the pure intelligence that the IQ this guy's got, football IQ, is beyond. You can tell he's played with Maldini, put it that way. He's beyond brilliant. I mean, the fact he does, I don't think he speaks English, right? But he still commands that defence and gets them galvanised and, you know, in line and stuff. You see him on the pitch pushing the likes of Koulibaly into positions where you're thinking, why the fuck's he done that? And all of a sudden, the next phase of play, Koulibaly's won the ball because he's been in that exact position that Thiago Silva's pushed him into. Minimal, like small things like that, he does. You're just thinking, how the fuck's he done that? How's he read that so well? And has he read it so well that he's pushed someone else to go and make that tackle? And the amount of goal line clearances he's done for Chelsea in the last year, I mean, literally, I think it was the other week. Granted, we lost against Brighton recently, 4-1. I think it was him who cleared it out and it landed to like Trossard or someone. And they like lobbed the ball over Kepa or Mendy. And before like the camera could even pan onto that the line, the ball going in, Silva's already there clearing it out. He's done a few clearances versus West Ham. He's just completely unreal for his age. The fact he's doing this, what, he's 38? He's 38? I'm pretty sure he's recently turned 38. And I wouldn't even blink if Chelsea gave him a 3-year contract. I wouldn't even be worried. He's managed to make any centre back that we've had look stupid. Like, he's made Rudiger look good. I generally think that. I don't think Rudiger as Rudiger before Silva was no one. Let's be honest. Mm. Rudiger before Tuchel was no one, but I think Silva is a major part to play in that. I mean, Koulibaly's next to him, and people would say Koulibaly was world class at Napoli. Koulibaly does not look world class, you know. If you're comparing him to someone like Thiago Silva, he's still good because he's sitting in the team with Silva, but there's just a stark difference between the two on the pitch. And you won't, people will fucking knock me down for this, but he's been better than Van Dijk the last season and a half. I don't get this Van Dijk hype, and I feel like Silva's better than him generally overall, but in the last season and a half, definitely, he has. And he just, I don't know, there's an ooze of classiness about him. And he's a no-nonsense, and he's a smart defender. I mean, do you remember recently, I think it was against Palace, he should have been sent off. He handballed the ball. I think he got tackled, basically, or he got caught in possession.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Ayew, right?
Yeah.
As a Chelsea fan, I knew he did it this on purpose, right? So he fell over on the ball. But as he was falling over, he swiped the ball with his hand, right? And they were looking for a VAR. But he made it look like he was pushed and fouled to deter them from giving the red card and a thingy. Obstruction of play. And it's just small things like that. He's just such a intelligent defender. And I feel like he's going to win the World Cup this year as well.
Yeah, so do I. I think they're favourites because they've got such a well-rounded team. And it will be the likes of Thiago Silva and, well, Marquinhos was brought up, weren't he, under Thiago Silva's wing for years. Them two at the back. I'm not sure there's a better centre-back pairing internationally.
Yeah.
And they've obviously got all these great attackers as well, so.
Martinelli in form, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other team. I can't put any other team in that category that's going to, you know, so balanced. I don't know. I think I can't think of a defender at any age currently that is performing to, you know, his level. And you got to think, Chelsea are a team that, you know, without Reece James or Chilwell or whoever in the last year and, you know, even this year, they're susceptible to so many attacks down that wing and balls coming across. And without, you know, he's been clearing that all up week in, week out. Without him, we'd be like a Man United, right? Leaking goals all the time. We're not as good as what people think we are. And that's because Thiago Silva's doing what he's doing. It's making us look a lot better. So, I don't know, he's a top quality player, and I wish we got him earlier. What guy?
Yeah, I think there's so many Chelsea fans that say exactly that about him. I'm glad you didn't get him earlier, because there was a few years where, after John Terry retired, you were just waiting for the next one to come through, weren't it? And it wasn't really till he's come through that you've got that replacement.
Yeah, Gary Cahill. And who else do we have? Gary Cahill and Zuma. That was a tough time. Yeah. All right. I think it's clear who. I mean, you'd be baffled if this guy wasn't number one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, he's an all-timer now. Like, I've started to rate him more and more, and the way that he's still playing now, he's still controlling games, still playing those quality passes, still can dribble the ball really well. He's just such a class player in that Real Madrid midfield now. And, yeah, it's going to be no surprise. It's Luka Modric at number one.
Yeah, and you can't really do much more at club level than win a Champions League, can you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And that, was it? I think it was against Chelsea, weren't it? That ball with the outside of the foot.
Yeah, it was unreal. I didn't... When you watch it on... when it was live, it didn't look as good. And then when you look at the replay, I think it was to Rodrigo, I think. I think it was something like that. The ability to do that under pressure, and in a fast-paced game, that game was fast-paced. I mean, that was back and forth. But he seemed to slow it down and play a ball, like a wonderful ball. Again, this is against someone like Thiago Silva, by the way. Play a ball just in front of Thiago Silva's head. Bend it round so that I think Rodrigo, he volleyed it. It's just magic. He pulls strings wherever he goes. It's another player Chelsea could have got. And he's really different to the likes of... So your playmakers you always think of, and this, you always think of, actually comes to the head, all the Arsenal players like Fabregas, Cazorla, like all those types of players. Or maybe De Bruyne. But he's a different kind of calibre. Like I was saying earlier on, these players have kind of made their own in terms of the way they play. They've kind of had their own signature style to them. And Modric is that. He's not a very fast player. He finds himself in positions very easily. Like he's clever in positionally on the pitch. But I think his ability to play a pass, I haven't seen anyone like it, really. I mean, people talk about Pirlo and stuff, but of recency, no one like it.
I think we touched on this before in a previous episode as well, but the outside of his right foot as well, like that's what that pass was. Do you remember that goal he scored against Scotland as well?
That was a brilliant
example of it. He just loves using that outside of the foot, and that just means, although he's not very two-footed really, he can just get them angles that a left foot would be able to get anyway by using that. And it's, I don't know, in some ways it's better than being two-footed, because like people aren't expecting it, like you're not choreographing the pass or anything like that. And yeah, he can move as well, like, quite well compared to some of these. I really rate Toni Kroos, but actually, like, Modric can do a little bit more stuff than Kroos can, really.
Yeah.
Like, Kroos couldn't really dribble around a lot of the players when Modric could do that.
Yeah. It's an odd one, because he's... Am I stupid to say he's a bit of an Iniesta?
Yeah, he's more Iniesta, and Kroos is more Xavi, I would say.
Because he can dribble around players, and he's ability to pass. I mean, yeah, he's a quality player, and I don't know, is Croatia in the World Cup? I don't know.
Yes, yeah, they are. And you know, I think with Croatia, they probably not going to go too far, but they've got a few kind of players that could just show up. But he's definitely one of them, Perisic. And I don't think they've got the hardest of groups in memory.
No, they don't. I mean, just checking, they've actually got, well, I think they haven't got a touch of back. I mean, Belgium is probably the hardest one, which is... I don't know though. Like, did they do really well? I don't think they did that well in the Euros, did they? But I mean,
no.
So Belgium, Canada and Morocco. So
oh, okay.
You're probably yeah. talking a team that can get out of the groups at least.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a chance there, and that, you know, when Croatia turn up, they can turn up in the big you know, tournament. So I mean, there's another chance for him to have a stint. You know, I don't think there's any chance of them winning it, but you know, again, at his age, to be this level, this clearly, I believe it would be his last World Cup. I don't think he's going to carry on much further than this, but you know, one last stint in the World Cup, I think he's definitely going to be playing. There's no one else taking his position, and you know, he's just probably win another league this year with Real Madrid. Again, with the teams that are falling out of the actual Champions League this year, and some of the way that teams are performing, like Liverpool, for example, you could see Real Madrid winning the Champions League again, couldn't you? Really?
Yeah, it could do.
So, who knows, man? I think he could well be here for a couple more years to come. Who knows? But Modric, number one. I think there's a very good list, Jack.
Yeah, as I said, it's probably not the highest of quality that maybe you'd have seen in the past, but I think the top sort of four or five are still pretty good going, really. So, yeah, it's probably one that, yeah, in a few years' time, as you sort of touched on, you're not really talking any more people knocking on the door now. I think you're talking a good sort of 5 or 10 years before we see many of these golden oldies come back through now.
Crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. Yeah. Madness.
Yeah, that rounds it off. And yeah, now we've covered the other 30 guys, we've got to focus on our own milestone now. Not too long to go. So,
But yeah, that has been, again, it's been good to be back again.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll be back on soon. And yeah, not long now till another milestone episode for us. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. That's all I'll say at the minute. But yeah, we've got some stuff going on for the World Cup too.
Yeah, be good. Be interesting stuff. And you know, keep your eyes peeled, but so you got to keep it.
No.